going on to the
Okay, I'm very pleased that so many of you have decided to stay and join us tonight. Is Dylan McNamara here? Oh, hi, Dylan.
Hello.
And hopefully all of you will really enjoy this presentation. Dylan is from UNCW. He came to speak with some of us a few months ago about a new system that we're hoping would not only help with a lot of the stuff that John Batson has to do in doing surveys out on the ocean, but also some things that may help our lifeguards, that may help the town in general. And I wanted to share it with the rest of the council and with any of you who may be interested. Harold, we'd love to share it with you, and we have a few seats out here. Okay, Dylan?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to give you guys a little bit more context, so I came here a few months ago and presented a longer expose about this technology that myself and some other professors at UNC Wilmington have been developing, and we partnered with the university to take this technology and put it out into the commercial world so that towns like Curie Beach, which would be one of the first towns to buy the technology, can have access to this technology, and it's outside the realm of pure research. So the group that my colleagues and I have formed is called the Dive Group, and the technology that we have developed, the purpose of it is to answer these four questions. Can you monitor erosion on the beach? So can you, day after day after day, say every hour, for a year or more, go and measure how much erosion is occurring on the beach? That's question number one. Can you monitor rip currents? Can you get some idea all day long, every single day, whether a human being's out there or not, can you get some idea of whether or not there's rip current threats at a particular location along the beach? So those are sort of the hazards. We call this technology the hazard monitoring technology. But it's not just to monitor hazards. There's opportunities that the technology can take advantage of. And so economic opportunities like in Curie Beach, for example, beach nourishment, which as everyone I'm sure in this room knows, a significant amount of money spent on beach nourishment. Can you monitor that nourishment? You put all that sand out there, you pay millions and millions of dollars. How long does the sand stay there? Can you keep an eye on it? And then finally, can you monitor beach occupancy? Explicitly, can you count how many people are on the beach every single day, every couple hours, over and over and over again all year long? So the technology that we have developed answers these questions by utilizing a camera. So there's a picture of a camera inside that box there, in a weatherproof box, that looks out that little window and looks down at the beach and tries to monitor those things that I just described. So what I'm going to do tonight, just for just 10 minutes or so, give you just kind of the bare bones description of exactly what this technology looks like and how you monitor these things and advantages you can find. So this particular technology is in contrast to, if you're going to do something like measure the erosion on the beach, I mean, a lot of towns do this, Curie Beach has done this in the past. Typically what's done is you pay a surveying company to come out, maybe once a year at best, to the tune of six figures. Typically these are very expensive projects, lots of manpower. They come out, they measure the beach maybe one time or two times during the year, and they give you an idea of beach nourishment. Recurrent observations are done by lifeguards, but they're of course not on the beach all the time. So the ways that you would monitor these things that I described classically would be very, very expensive, and they would happen relatively infrequently. Our technology that we've developed will monitor these things very frequently, every half hour, every hour, and it's relatively inexpensive. And then as the monitoring is occurring, access to the information is available to anyone who can go to a website, you can go on your phone, and take a look at the data that this technology is collecting. So we prototyped this system in Wrightsville Beach. We've had a camera up in Wrightsville Beach, which you can see in the top right image there. It's been sitting on top of Station 1 condominium, which is a really tall condo, as soon as you come over the bridge in Wrightsville. And that picture down on the right-hand side, that's just like one example of the type of picture that the camera takes. So it's just a normal little camera. It's just that it's sitting up there all by itself, powered by a solar panel, so it's completely off the grid. It's not plugged into anything, so it's powered by a solar panel, and it these pictures, and we can remotely log on to the camera and control how often pictures get taken, and so forth. So more close-up idea. So the camera sits inside of a little box like this, and it images a certain section of the beach. And it takes that picture of that portion of the beach. This is an example of a picture that the camera would take. And then the upshot is that we have developed computer software that takes a look at this picture and without any human input is able to identify in that picture where there's a rip current threat, where is the beach located, how many people are on the beach. So it effectively takes this picture and turns it into this picture. So you can see here we've kind of color-coded in these this particular images. There are little rip current areas that are colored in red. The yellow is the dry beach, so the beach from the dune grass to where the water is at that particular moment in time, which that's where the money is, right? That's where you can lay your towel down. And then in green, it's automated counting of all the people that are out there on the beach. And so not only does the computer algorithms that we've developed identify these things, but we can perform measurements as if you went out there with a ruler. So we take these images that are kind of looking obliquely from the side, and we use some mathematics to take that image and turn it so it's as if you're looking straight down on top of the beach. And then not only that, you have a very definite measuring scale so that you can, it's like you went out there with a tape measure, and you can measure distances all over the picture. And that's wonderful because if you want to know how much the beach is eroding and you take a picture an hour later, and if the beach came back a couple feet, the camera system will be able to identify that. So you get numbers, real world numbers, for how wide the beach is every time a picture is taken. And then of course, the automated part of the analysis is just to look through an image like this and have a computer make a decision, an accurate decision about, in that picture, what portions of the picture is water, what portions of the picture is foam from breaking waves, what portion of the picture, which pixels are beach, so the red ones, and then which are things other than beach, either dune grass or a human being. And so we've developed a computer algorithm that does it for you. I do have grad students and undergrads that I could make do this every half an hour, but that wouldn't be fair. So you can just train a computer to do these kind of things, and they actually probably do it better than graduate students would anyway. And so every time a picture is taken, it's a fairly intensive process. You take a picture every half hour, and then the computer just decides immediately, where's the beach, where's the water, where's the foam, where's the rip current, all these things, and it just happens automatically. And in the case of measuring beach width, so what you can do is you can decide how wide the beach is. You can make a measurement in how many feet or meters or whatever the case might be. You can measure how wide the beach is from the dunes all the way to the water's edge. And so it generates pictures like this, which, not to go into too much detail here, but this is from the prototype camera in Wrightsville Beach. What this is a plot of is the width of the beach on the vertical up and down axis. It's plotted the width of the beach in meters. And then on the horizontal axis, that's time. So that's from August of 2013 up until May of 2014. And it's showing you in those different lines what the beach is doing based on taking pictures every half an hour. So you can see over that time the beach is eroded. And not only do we get the measurement of the beach, but we get it at all kinds of different tides. We get the beach width at low tide, the beach width at high tide, the beach width at medium tide. So you get some sense of how much is the beach losing sand. The camera, of course, also captures things like this. I'll show you this quick video. While the camera was up in, it was April of 2014, Wrightsville Beach had a big beach nourishment project. Again, I think you guys are due for one this coming March.
They're starting right now.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys have all seen this. I've seen these too, but it's kind of neat to see them real fast. It's kind of amazing. I mean, this is quite an engineering technology. But so sand, they pump sand from some other location. They grab it from, in this case, around the corner, on the backside of Wrightsville Beach, and then they, pump the sand out through those pipes and just widen the beach dramatically. And so this Wrightsville Beach project cost somewhere around $9-10 million. And so the camera is monitoring this, and not only is it nice to see, you can keep an eye on the workers, make sure they know what they're supposed to be doing, but you get a nice measurement of the impact of that nourishment. So here's one of those plots again, where on the vertical axis is the width of the beach, again from the dune to where the water is, and then through time. And so you can see in the blue there, that's back in the fall of 2013, And there was the beach sitting there eroding a little bit, and then that white uptick is an injection of $9 million worth of sand and manpower and womanpower, and you get a huge increase in the width of the beach. $9 million injection in the beach. So then you can watch that money and see what happens to it. So it's effectively a capital depreciation curve. The money's not just floating away, right? There's a bunch of people on the beach, so it has some benefit, but it's not our business to get into the details of whether that was a good decision or not. It's just, there it is, and you can watch it. You can very accurately measure what happens to that sand, see where it goes. And in a future of, particularly in Huron Beach, of you guys potentially having to pay more and more and more of a share of the money towards these nourishment projects, it's critical to know where that sand goes. The Army Corps of Engineers, or whoever pumps that sand, tells you, we're going to put sand on your beach, it's going to be there for 5 years. You can put up a plot like this and say, hey, no, look, it left after 3 years. Maybe next time you should put more, put less, or whatever the case might be. With regard to rip currents, just to mention that briefly, it's very obvious when you look at these pictures, you can see indications of persistent rip channels. So for example, near piers, this happens a lot. What you end up seeing is a break in the foam from where the waves are breaking. So when you take these camera images and you take a look at where the foam is from all the wave breaking, you'll see gaps in the foam, and those gaps are indicative of a rip channel or a rip current right in that location. So in a case like this, the technology would say, right in that zone, don't go swimming there, at least for the next hour that we're taking your picture, and then we'll take another picture in an hour and let you know what the rip activity is. And then finally, counting human beings on the beach. So this is something we prototyped in Wrightsville Beach. There's a picture there on the left-hand side of a busy weekend in Wrightsville Beach with a lot of people on the beach. And then the camera counts how many people there are. And that plot there on the right that's kind of hard to see in this light is the number of people, actually the total number of meters squared of people on the beach all the way through time, from the late summer into the winter time. So you get some idea of those, you can see those spikes, those are weekend intervals. So you get some nice accounting of how many people are on the beach. So to wrap it up, just to give you the sense that can we monitor erosion? Yes. Identify rip currents? Yes. Count people on the beach? Yes. And then the idea is the technology does all of those things and then provides the data in real time. So every hour, if you want, you can take a look, grab your phone and go to a website and see what the rip current threat is at a particular location, what the beach is doing, how many people are on the beach. So we take that stuff, we basically pipe it from those cameras up to a cell network and then put it into our labs and do all the necessary computational stuff that needs to be done for all those processes. And then it's piped onto a website that's accessible through the phone or on a computer. And in terms of the cost, just to kind of show you guys what the cost would be, you know, for you guys, some obvious locations that a camera like this would make sense would be on the pier. Sticking one of these on the pier would make a lot of sense. It's a fairly easy place to get one of those cameras. The cameras themselves, I didn't bring them. The box that the camera goes in is about that big. So a tube like that. And then there's a solar panel, which is about that big. And then a little battery that's about that big. So all of that goes in boxes, and it's just like, for an example, on the pier, it would just be attached to the side of the pier, out of the walkway, barely noticeable, hanging off the side of the pier. So the installation for these cameras is $1,500. And just to give you an idea, when I first started this project, I bought one of these cameras 4 years ago, and it was $10,000. So the cost for these has come dramatically down. And that's the cost for a full installation, not just for the equipment, but the manpower to put the camera up. So $1,500, so the costs have come down dramatically. And then the maintenance charges to do all that automated analysis and to keep an eye on the camera, storing the data and make sure you have a website that's running and active, $12,000 a year. And then every additional camera after that would be less expensive, because once you have one up in your town, then you're already monitoring and keeping an eye on it. You've developed the web page. So the next camera would be $6,000 a year, the next camera is $6,000 a year. So in comparison to, say, paying surveyors to $100,000 to get one data point a year of just the width of the beach, this is every single day the width of the beach, the rip current threat, and how many people are on the beach.
Could you elaborate on the rip currents and how that could help our lifeguards?
Yeah. So the way that I would view that is, I mean, so again, just to be clear, it certainly wouldn't replace lifeguards. Lifeguards are critical and important. They span a large portion of the beach. They're keeping an eye on rip currents all day, every day. But in the case where it was on the pier is a classic place where often rip currents will form next to the pier. So the camera would be there looking at the pier. And it would be doing so, you know, September the 20th, after the season. There's still people jumping in the water when the ocean's warm. And it would be able to tell you, if you wanted to go to the beach that day, you'd go to the website, look at the camera, and it would tell you whether or not there's been rip current activity in the area next to the pier where there often is. And if so, to avoid swimming in that location. So in the places where the camera's looking, you get some idea of what the rip current threat is.
Okay.
And without any human being anywhere on the beach to give you that idea, it would just come through automatically. Okay.
Are you working with any other towns now besides Wrightsville Beach?
No, and in the case of Wrightsville Beach, we're actually not working with the town yet. That's just a prototype camera that we stuck up on that condo just to test the technology and develop the technology. This town is the first town that we've come and made an official presentation to show the technology. Carolina Beach is interested, and then, of course, we'll probably go out to many other towns and see who else is interested. But Curie is the first town that we've presented to. You guys are close and easy for us to access. So, yeah.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Willard, can you find John Batson back there for us? Okay, John was here when Dylan first gave the other presentation. I had asked John to look at, and I know here he had talked about having two cameras on the pier. I imagine one facing on each side. Did you happen to have any other recommendations for other locations that this would be good to have?
There's one other house on south Fort Fisher Boulevard. It's 1009. It does out pretty far towards the beach. It would be, I believe, a good location for it. And that would be able to monitor a significant portion of the southern beach. North, there's a couple of houses, but every one of these properties is privately owned. So that would be.
Right. And a little more difficult with us because we don't have the high rises Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach have.
Right. Okay. The south end would be nice just based on the idea that if you're monitoring the pier and the south end in terms of keeping an eye on the nourishment, you know, sand moves around and watching how one reacts and another reacts would be really nice.
Okay.
John, how often do we do those beach surveys? I thought we were doing them once a month.
I was doing them twice a year, and then before and after every significant storm. Mm-hmm. I don't do the biannual measurement anymore. We actually hired a surveying crew to do that professionally for us as part of...
That's what we do with Layton. We
right,
get that
correct.
Surveying crew that comes out, and does, and they do that, I think, every month, though, right?
No, they're doing it twice a year.
Twice a year?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And how
do you
much
know what
that does
costs?
That... Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. I want to say it was $160,000.
Twice a year?
No, mostly
for the year. You do need to check that.
That was either a 2 or 3 year contract, please. I might be completely off. I can't remember.
Would you let us know then, John, please?
I can.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
So I think this one goes in the budget process.
That's why I wanted him to do it before we started talking about our budget.
I mean, is Arlen out there or is he back there?
Better.
Yeah, so I think it's just one more in the budget process with all the other projects to consider.
So two cameras is 18 a year, plus the installation, 19.5 or something like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
And three would be close to $30,000.
So 19.5 according to that.
Yeah, 12 and 12, 25, and then the extra
so,
here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Question?
Yes, I have two questions.
Sure.
One, we have as you know, we have a 35-foot height limit here. And I don't know how that would impair or help you. The other question is there any way that you could use any satellite technology to do this?
Great questions. So with regard to the first question, I actually came to the pier 3 weeks ago and took a snapshot off the pier just to kind of test how the technology would work off the pier since it's not nearly the size of that condo. And we were able to reasonably accurately get about 100, 150 meters along the beach of the measurement. So, and that was right from standing on the pier just taking a shot like this. So, you know, somewhere around 300, 400 feet from north to south along the pier, we would be measuring the beach with one camera. With regard to satellites, the resolution is not nearly high enough to get the information for if your beach is moving back 5 meters at a time or a couple meters, a couple feet. Satellite resolution is not quite high enough to get accurate.
Depends on what satellite you're using.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's probably satellites out there, military satellites that we don't have access to. but we don't have access to that kind of resolution. And timing, I mean, these are every half an hour you're getting pictures of the beach, which for rip currents is pretty important.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next one, you're going to have to sit in for Sunny on this presentation. Okay, Bridget Cotton.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. I'm representing the Island Women Organization. This past fall, we worked on some improvements to the Curry Beach Dog Park. We were unable to complete two tasks, repainting the sign at the entrance and planting some flowers and or ground cover just below that sign. We have the paint already. It's the same colors that's uniform with the rest of the park there. And we will obtain the plantings at the appropriate time for the season for that. I am seeking permission tonight to work with the Town of Curry Beach's Public Works Department, if I have that correct, so we can complete these two projects. I have a group of Island Women volunteers who are ready to help me.
So we discussed this at our first departmental heads meeting the other day, first one for several years, and I talked to him about this at the time, and he said anything you would like to do to help the dog park, he would more than welcome you, especially since you already have paint.
Right.
Now, what about the plantings?
We would probably suggest something and just bring it over to you to get your permission. It would be things that are indigenous to this area that we wouldn't do.
Okay, so the town would not be required to buy additional plantings.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And I would assume if there are volunteers in the town that would like to help you,
absolutely,
they could join in with you.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
That's fine.
Okay. David is the liaison and kind of Sonny's boss, so I think it would be
the council's all the department heads and bosses, but Mr. Beek will be glad to work with the island ladies.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
We had a couple of people who signed up to speak. Mac Montgomery.
I'm not gonna speak about dog park. I'm Mac Montgomery, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate that. I would like to say that reflecting with the attorney that today, in 1999 was the first time that I became a property owner in Curry Beach. So that was 27 years ago. It's a long time.
99?
Isn't it?
I gave
birth in 99.
He's 17 now.
No, 17. Snoring a guy, it's not a math thing.
No, I'm sorry.
1989.
89. Look, I'm over 70 now, so bear with me. All right. And then in 2000, I had the honor of the first time that I actually served on a committee in this town. The mayor at that time was Benny Medlin. I served on a committee with Mike Robertson and some other people on the working on parking, believe it or not. I know there's still a parking committee. And then over the years, Curry Beach developed quite a reputation that Carolina Beach didn't have, Riceville Beach didn't have. You look at all the beach crossovers we have, and the amount of cooperation we got from coastal management that the committee's worked on. And we got a lot accomplished in this town. We got a lot accomplished because of the reputation that the town had. Talk about Sonny, who is really David's not his boss, but I know that, is that we had one of the foremost ideas, and we were at the forefront of stormwater treatment here on the coast. And we were recognized at the state level for the initiatives that we had. And Curry Beach was the leader and still is the leader. And it came from a lot of things. It came from people recognizing, like the presentation you had here, that Curry Beach was wanting to step up and take the forefront. We weren't as big as Riceville Beach. We didn't have all the important people, supposedly, that came there. But we were going to be the leader. We took the lead in public access to the coast and the beach. Still lead there. Nobody has as much public access as Curry Beach does. So what you've done tonight and your call for volunteers is a trend that started well over 20 years ago. And I've watched it develop, and it develops through your work up there and develops through the participation of the citizens here. But it goes beyond here, because believe me, what you do here, and with like Willard covering this, the people in Raleigh, the people in D.C., the people who are going to make the decisions with allocations and help when it's needed, when it's time to turn around and say, I would like your help in this new project, you know, they're going to listen to you because that's who you are. And that potential is there, the reputation is going to be there, and it will carry us just like it has the last 20 years. So I'd like to encourage you to continue where you're going. I'd like to pledge that in the organizations that I belong to, we will continue to support what you're doing. And I would like to encourage the people in Curry Beach to get behind what we're doing and keep going, because it's a great future. This potential that the dive brought up, nobody believed that you could divert stormwater into the dunes, filter it, and go out. And I've yet working with Sonny and NC State and money and grants and everything, we did it. We were modeling. It could be a model in a lot of other things. So I encourage you to keep going. My congratulations on what you've done, and my pledge to keep working with you and doing whatever I can do to make that influence happen. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Judy Glarick, she had a presentation. Did she leave? Okay, Mo. Please skip your name and address.
My name is Mo Lindquist, 513 South 4th Avenue in Curry Beach. And this is Judy Glarick, 645 Settlers Lane. 2 years ago, over 300 citizens came to the Curry Beach Council to stand against seismic testing and oil drilling along our coast. Unfortunately, that council ignored the citizens' wishes, and three members voted not to pass the opposing resolution. Then the citizens spoke again last November, this time on Election Day. As a result, we are here tonight as proof that our democracy works. Government by the people, for the people. Tonight, I want to thank this council for saying no to big oil, no to elected officials who put our ocean at risk, and yes, for protecting our coast. Judy Lyric.
Thank you. Barry Nelder.
I want to say thank you, Council, for your vote. It was greatly appreciated by me and a lot of the other citizens here, I'm sure. What I want to talk about is part of the feedback that we got during the previous mayor's endorsement of the seismic testing and the environmental / stormwater committee was disbanded because of that. Because we took a stand against the environmental statutes or environmental programs that were being kind of stepped on. I would like the council to consider reinstating the environmental slash stormwater committee to possibly be resurrected, and we can go from there. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Now that is the last one on our list. Is there anyone who did not have an opportunity to sign up who would like to say anything? Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment. Community Center Committee. Marketing Committee. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, Planning and Zoning. Craig?
Good evening. Craig Galbraith, Chairman of the P&Z Committee. We've got two items tonight that carry over from December. The first item is a proposed amendment to Chapter 19-3737, Code Regarding Political Signs. And I believe the town attorney might want to talk about this a little bit. That was based upon an approval of what the town attorney brought to us. We tweaked it a little bit in terms of some of the wordage, but you know, essentially it was what was brought to us by the town attorney.
This is all we asked for, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So make a motion we approve pending a public hearing or schedule a public hearing to discuss, right? That's what we need to do. Yeah. Make a motion we schedule a public hearing before the February meeting to discuss the proposed amendment to Chapter 19-3737.
I second.
So does that mean that we're approving that in order to have a public hearing?
No, you have to have a public hearing first, right? I mean, you can, well, if you want to change it, we should probably change it before we have a public hearing so they, the public knows what to look at, so.
Okay.
So you can say discussion before we vote and decide if you want to change it, right?
Yes. Is there any discussion?
I personally, I went through it. I thought it's pretty innocuous. It didn't change too much from the previous couple other points, time periods. I don't think there's any problem with it.
Okay. I mean, I'm anti-signs for politicians, political stuff anyway, so I'm all fine with it, but, you know.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, your okay. Second issue.
The second item has to do with the P part of P&Z, which is planning. And again, is raised a discussion on the Planning and Zoning Commission regarding a I won't call it a new type of structure, but we're seeing a lot more of the structure, and that's container based homes. You should have within your packet, I believe, a three-page
Hold on just a second, please, Craig. What's the question, Mr. Craig?
We need a date for the public hearing.
Before the February meeting is what I said, 6 o'clock. Immediately preceding the February meeting.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. We want to get it straight so we don't have to come back.
Okay. Anyway, I think in your packet, you should have about a three-page discussion point that I put together. Just very quickly about container homes, we do have a couple of them within the region. Obviously, we do have a number of them in throughout the state as well as the nation. Just some quick statistics that I pulled out of some research that I did. One, a container home normally takes about a 90K construction time. Containers come in two different sizes, kind of a half size and a full size. Half size being 160 square feet, and the full size being about 320 square feet. The initial cost of a container is anywhere from about $1,500 to about $4,000. Finishing construction costs for a container home runs somewhere about $10,000 to $25,000. A minimum I found is about $10,000 for a 320 square foot one. So you're really talking about a total cost for a container home. If you're just talking about the single 320 square foot one, it's somewhere about the $15,000 to $30,000 range for these micro houses. Obviously they can be stacked, they can be put together, and becomes much more expensive. Best way probably to think about it is about 30% construction cost of a normal stick home. Based upon my research, going through and probably looking at several hundred different pictures, About 70% of the container homes that are out there do not have any siding or additional roof, roof designs. And a good example here is one that is in Wilmington. This is a picture I got off the WECT website. They did a news story on this, so you can see kind of what a typical container home has. But I also tried to include some that did have some more aesthetic characteristics to it on the following page. And so about 30% of them do have siding or some sort of a roof design you know, associated with it. We've started discussing this, and just for your own reference, I also pulled some other pictures. The one that kind of motivated this discussion was two container homes that are going in Carolina Beach on Swordfish and South Carolina Avenue. And again, they're currently in construction. It's certainly taking longer than 90 days to get those built. So I don't know what the problem is, but they're out there, and I've tried to put a couple pictures in there. You can see that there's two of them kind of across from each other, and they're surrounded by much larger homes. And again, I just provided some other ones down there on the bottom. We had a discussion at the P&Z and found that you know, a couple issues. Certainly there is some you know, difference of opinion in terms of the container homes on the P&Z. Basically, what we are asking for in terms of identifying, obviously, before we go much further, is get a sense about where the council would like us to go. The major issues is that based upon the definitions, and this is our P&Z, Mr. Eldridge's opinion, Mr. Batson has a different opinion on this.
Amen.
But based upon the definition of the Curie Beach Code, according to the P&Z legal opinion, is that container houses are currently allowed in any zoning that allows single or multi-residential housing. If there's any question about that, I'm sure Mr. Eldridge will talk about that. And as I mentioned, John also has a different opinion in terms of that. Container houses are becoming very popular. I mean, there's no question about it. You see a lot of sites, a lot of developers that are using container houses. It's kind of attached to the whole micro house kind of craze that's going on right now. There are some indications. Somebody on the council heard that a developer may be thinking about bringing container homes to Curie Beach. There was a recently passed, and it was 2 weeks ago, but that was when I was going to talk about this last December, so it's probably about 6 weeks now. It's new state law, SL 215-86, that really restricts the ability of towns and cities to develop and regulate the aesthetics related to residential housing. So it's one of these things where we probably couldn't regulate the aesthetics associated with a container home. We might be able to regulate some building construction characteristics, possibly with siding or roofs, but the aesthetics we probably couldn't regulate right now. Again, Mr. Aldridge will be able to talk about that. So I mentioned P&Z is kind of split regarding this. There are some different possibilities. One is to try to not allow them in the town of Curie Beach. Another is to allow them in any residential housing. And another would be to just allow them in certain zoning areas that currently allow modular or mobile homes right now, which is the RA2T area, which is to the north of us here. It's easy to address the issue. We just basically have to put in a definition, for example, of what a container home is. And that's how we can go ahead and define it into a particular regulatory scheme. So it's not a real difficult thing to deal with the ordinances that would be required of this. But I think the P&Z felt that we needed the guidance of the council as to which direction you'd like to let's go.
Questions?
Well, I don't really have a question. I do have some discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, that's all right. He has a question.
No, that's right. Yeah. Can I have a question?
Yes.
Thanks. So the attorneys and the building inspector disagree, I think, and I want to understand the disagreement a little bit. So my understanding is the reason the attorneys, and stop me if I'm wrong, attorneys, right, that's what you guys do, because in our definitions, dwelling single families shall mean a detached building designed for occupancy exclusively by one family, is that why you guys say that it's acceptable? Because of that definition? Or is there somewhere else in, I mean, that's the one I'm keying off of, but maybe I'm wrong.
Commissioner, the one I was keying off on is building. That's the one that staff has a healthy debate about.
Okay.
But building is basically, your knee-jerk reaction to a definition of building is it couldn't possibly contain shipping containers. But it's not the knee-jerk reaction to the common sense definition. It's definition inside the ordinance.
Okay.
Point one. Point two, we'll come back to the definition in a second, but But I have to assume I've not been tasked with the assignment to find out why, and I've not spent the time or the money to do it.
Yep.
But I doubt seriously that Curie Beach's zoning ordinance is that much different than Wilmington or Carolina Shores, Carolina Beach. And we do have permitted container dwelling units in those jurisdictions. So that makes me think that it's possible here. But the thing that caught my eye is building. Building is a structure enclosed and isolated by exterior walls constructed or used for residence. And it includes tents, lunch wagons, dining cars, and trailers. Residence, business, industry, or other public private purposes. So I took several things away from that definition. Number one, I've got a container. If I use it for residence, I've got a structure that is enclosed and isolated by exterior walls. I can use it for residential purposes. My zoning ordinance is not that much different than the other communities I mentioned a second ago. And if a lunch wagon, a dining car, and a trailer can be a building, I'm not sure why a shipping container used for residential purposes couldn't also be used.
But, okay, so our ordinances don't say buildings are allowed, they say dwellings.
Well, but a dwelling is a building designed or used by one or more families. So you start
designed for occupancy.
But if you retrofit a shipping container for residential occupancy, I think you get there.
So is your assumption it has to be PE stamped or not then?
Have
Does a professional engineer stamp it for that to say it's designed for that?
Well, I haven't really gotten into the thick and thin of it in that respect. I just think that if you take a container, and if you feel, and again, I'm not pushing.
No, I understand. I'm the first to say that. You're giving us your opinion. I appreciate that.
I'm just giving you an arguable, hypothetical
example.
Yes, sir.
I understand.
I think if you've got a container that's an interior space isolated by exterior walls, and if you design it for use as a residential unit, and if you, in fact, use it as a residential unit, I think that you have a dwelling based on the definition of dwelling and building within your code. That's just the starting point that I take, and I agree completely with Mr. Galbraith. Whatever the policy is, it's an extremely easy fix.
Right.
You can go in any direction you want, limited, wide open, prohibited. There's also a tremendous body of case law out there for manufactured housing that is an extremely useful guide for whatever text amendments you board feels are necessary.
Right. Could we also get from John?
So John, tell me why you
I just want to say, first of all, I wish the words "are you" and "differing opinion" hasn't been used yet, because really we're kind of looking for direction from council right now.
I'm okay with that.
And my opinion is that the ordinances don't clearly allow for container homes to be built in Curie Beach. And so that tells me that I should not allow them until we figure out which way we're going with this. That's kind of where I'm
No, and I appreciate that stance, yeah. Actually. I'm so, totally in favor of that stance, right? So if you at the P&Z meeting, the questions that I sent to you guys were pretty specific about, okay, how do we give our building inspector the authority to say no while we figure out the right answer, right?
And we did talk about that, and the council's opinion is that we couldn't give the inspector authority, but the building inspector felt he had the authority under
Good.
His interpretation.
Good.
Yeah, the long and short of that is, it's his job to interpret this ordinance, and he's going to make a ruling.
Right.
There's nothing that we can do to change that, and there's no moratorium we can act in order to amend in the meantime, because you can't have a moratorium if you're going to amend for residential purposes.
Right.
So the long and short of it is, if he's right, not if he's right, but if a decision was made that it's not expressly allowed and it's not authorized, the building permit's not permitted, and nobody challenges it, fine. If it's challenged, it's Board of Adjustment and possible Superior Court.
Right.
That's the long and short of that.
Good.
I was doing a little bit of math, so we got... That would be structures at about $62 a square foot. $62 to $65 a square foot. $10,000 for half size. 20 grand for full size.
You know, probably the minimum would be about $12,000. I said $15,000, but probably $12,000 for a 320 square foot. I mean, that would be the bare bones sort of thing. And you could certainly make them much fancier.
So then the question would be, based on the definition I think I heard you say, Counselor, that it almost sounds like, you know, we could pull a bus in, put a bathroom in it, and call it a dwelling.
As a matter of fact, I've been in a school bus residential structure in Wilmington on the waterfront, so and that jumped through a lot of Board of Adjustment hearings, and that person was quite proud that he prevailed.
Okay, so I guess I know this is this is open for some discussion, but on my particular view, I don't know that we should prohibit small dwellings. I do think we need to manage small dwellings, and in my view, it's maybe to the extent we can define how they look, to the extent we can define where they should be.
Where they be is certainly within your bailiwick, but how they look is just about not in your bailiwick.
Right. Yeah. Can we put in the new state law?
You mean siding? You can't require siding?
You can you can't have any, from my, and again, Mr. Elders can certainly interpret this, but generally with the new law that for residential, and this would be a residential classification, not applying to commercial, but for residential,
right,
it's going to be extremely difficult to regulate any aesthetics associated with a residential building right now. In terms of siting, that's certainly a zoning issue if you're talking about zoning. You know, currently we only have one zoning, which is the RA2T zone, which allows mobile homes or modular homes. Certainly, just by a definitional sort of thing, we can simply say that it can be regulated just in that particular zoning. The concern is that without that type of language, if we follow Mr. Eldridge's opinion about this, it could be in any residential zoning here in Curie Beach.
2 points, Mayor Pro Tem. That session law that Professor Galbraith cited, it's got some ambiguity in it. There's a laundry list of what you can't do, and for example, you cannot mandate type or style of exterior cladding material, but it does not say whether you're prohibited from requiring a cladding material as opposed to the size of the side of the shipping container. And again, what he said, who said, that opinion, let's just boil it all down to something very simple. You don't have a black and white answer right now which way is right. And it's a very easy fix depending on what you all want to do, if anything. And that's all there is to it. I mean, for example, you could take the definition of building and put right at the end, not including shipping containers.
Right.
Then you prohibit them all. Or you can come and develop an appropriate definition for a shipping container as a dwelling unit, and if you wanted to restrict them, then put that use in the districts that you want it in.
Right.
Okay, I have a question for either one of you. You were talking about maybe limiting it to the areas where we have modular or trailers.
That's one option.
Okay,
you know, I think
right,
that's probably
that is one option.
Three different options.
Could you tell me what you believe the difference is between a trailer or modular unit and a container, and whether or not there could be some question from the container industry that they really are not trailers or modular, and therefore don't, you know, do not need to be restricted to those areas?
You know, again, if I could answer that, you know, a lot of it has to do with the definitions that we have in the ordinances. If we define things in a certain way within the ordinance, and then we specify where that particular definitional aspect would be allowed, whether it's a zoning or anything like that, I think we could possibly take care of that. You know, the shipping container industry might object to that, but if we define it in a certain way, my own personal opinion, again, this is legal, certainly asking legal folks here, my opinion, that would probably take care of that particular issue.
And to follow up, if I may, all the terms that you used, mobile home, modular home, manufactured home, they're defined, they are precisely defined in two areas, just about any zoning ordinance, but also, and particularly in the case of manufactured housing, an abundance of case law, and in manufactured knee-jerk reaction was to prohibit them. And manufactured housing had a very effective lobbying, and you have to ask yourself whether the shipping container industry does as well. That effective lobbying resulted in a statute by the General Assembly that said, look, you can't prohibit them, but you can put them where you think best. And after that, there was a whole slew of cases where the using that statute where the lobbying interest and the planning interest clashed. And thus, and this is what I referred to earlier, there's a very clear list of what you can do and what you can't do. For example, if council felt that they needed to be restricted in certain places, Andy and I go to the case, we find the case on point, and we follow that roadmap. That particular case says so long as council had a rational basis, which you would set forth in the ordinance, amending your mandatory ordinance, had a rational basis for its decision to put these things in that place, it's not up to the courts to judge council's wisdom on that.
Okay, thank you. So what's your pleasure?
You said you have three options?
Well, I think the three general options is to simply allow them anywhere where there's residential zoning. And again, based upon Mr. Eldridge's opinion, that's kind of what we have right now. Another option, I think, is to limit them to certain zonings. The only one that does allow manufactured homes or mobile homes right now is the RA2T zoning, which is to the north of us, bordering Carolina Beach. The other option is to try to exclude them completely, I think, from Curie Beach. So I think those are the three basic options. Obviously, another option would be to find other zoning categories where you might want to allow them also.
So what about the block south that has mobile homes in it? Is that pre-existing zoning?
That actually is a non-conforming.
Okay.
That is an RA1. Those are non-conforming right now. So again, John could possibly explain that, but they can't be replaced because they're non-conforming.
Okay, thank you.
Unless they're destroyed by a natural disaster.
Right. Okay. I think we should give guidance to P&Z to fix the ordinance to support where the building inspector is, to limit them to RAT right now. I think if someone came to count, and I think to do that requires a public hearing, correct?
Yes.
So at that point we'll get input from the citizens if they agree or disagree with that decision. I guess either way, whether we decide to not have or not, I'm kind of mixed. So personally, I think someone should be able to put whatever they want on their property. But on the other hand, I recognize that the biggest investment for most of our citizens is their house. And if our citizens feel that it's hurting their property values, putting a shipping container right beside them, I think that's a reasonable thing to think, right? I mean, for the majority of our citizens, I wasn't asking for the help, but thanks. So kind of the way I'm leaning and looking for discussion from council is we follow P&Z's recommendation, have a public hearing to limit them to RAT.
2T.
2T. RA2T.
I support that view. Because I think we should manage this. Because we do have a character to the community, and we do should have a place in the community for most or anyone who would care to be it, but I think we need to manage it for the benefit of all. So I would like to see it limited in some aspect to that specific area.
Well, I think if the citizens all don't like that either, then okay.
Yeah, then
we take the feedback. That's why you have a public hearing on it, right?
Yep.
Jason. We have any kind of feedback.
Joseph. I disagree with them, but let's have the public hearing.
Okay.
I'm going to weigh in on this because...
Also, I'd just like to know what party disagrees
with. Limiting it to one section.
So you'd like to have it anywhere.
So we can tell people they can't do what they want to do.
Okay. After working with the city of Wilmington for 7 years, one of the areas very predominantly was affordable housing, something that we don't have in Curie Beach. And to restrict people from living here simply because the majority of our houses are for fairly wealthy people, I really disagree with. Now, most of you, including myself, live in developments that would not allow this because of their covenants. And I would, and I ask, you know, our attorney here, I believe those covenants would cover those areas, take precedent over anything we did or said.
If they were stricter, I tend to agree.
Right, okay. But I believe there are other areas other than just the trailer park areas where we should be able to have people build affordable housing. And containers, and I've seen them in Wilmington, and I mean, read for years about them in other towns all over the country. I'm sorry that the legislature will no longer allow us to do certain aesthetics. That goes for everybody's house, including my neighborhood. But if it prevents people from living here, and I'm bordering on the point of we don't like them because they don't make the same income we make, and they need to have housing that's less expensive than what most of us live in. I can't do that for Currie Beach. I really want us to be able to have affordable housing in this town, and this is just one option for it. However, I've told every one of you, I will listen to you. And we have a public hearing, and all of you in Currie Beach say, sorry, we're keeping those people out. I will go with whatever the majority request. Okay. So do I hear a motion to...
Yeah, so I take exception to restricting how you build a house. I'm against public housing, but, or affordable housing. But I will make a motion. I make a motion that we direct P&Z to construct an ordinance or definitions as necessary to limit container housing to RA2T and schedule a public hearing. When would you be ready, P&Z?
We could announce the public hearing. If we can announce it soon, we can certainly have it for our next meeting.
So does that mean our next council meeting, or in March?
Because in more controversial things like that, what we've done as a P&Z is we hold a public hearing for that for the P&Z, get the feedback, and then come to you with our recommendation. Okay. Then if you like the recommendation and want to change it, then you would also hold a public hearing.
And when is your February meeting?
The first Wednesday. So.
Generally,
February 3rd is the first Wednesday.
I believe we still.
Yes, planning is on February 3rd.
I believe we still have a window where if we advertise it, we can hold a public hearing.
I second. To have the meeting on February 3rd at the regular scheduled P&Z meeting.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
Thank you very much for looking ahead.
Thanks, Craig.
Okay.
We support your definition.
Quickly, Nancy, can you turn that light off that's shining on the thing up there? And thank you, P&Z. I appreciate that. Okay. Where are we here? Shoreline.
Sure.
Tony?
Roberts, chairman of Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee.
Could you speak a little louder?
In your docket, you'll have the maps.
Yes, sir.
Greg and myself went with DOT after they repaved the road, and we came up with these locations like you requested us to do. There's a map in front of you. And we went over one, like on the last page is a missed space. The second page has a new space. And the first page is a space that's going to be extended. Two spaces, town review, and one space they missed. So we went through this. I dropped this off at Chief Cooper's. He agreed with all these that are on this three sheets. And we were supposed to, after I get the okay, I have to meet with DOT again go with Chief Cooper and just finalize this list. So I need your approval to go ahead, call DOT to start the progress.
Make a motion, we add the spaces as proposed.
Second that.
Excuse me. Do we have anybody from the police department in there, in the hallway? Okay, thank you. Okay.
I make a motion to accept the spaces as directed, as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay. Cape Fear Disability Commission. Yes, ma'am.
Question has been posed. Excuse me, when you called me, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, please say your name.
Deborah McKenna. About who has legislative approval of ATVs on Curry Beach proper? I called John, and John was kind of emailed him. You were kind enough to forward the email to Chief Cooper. We have not heard back from him yet. We do have a meeting tomorrow, so if we don't get an update from anybody within the city, I can put it in front of them.
Okay. This request came forward from one of our residents who is disabled and has had one leg amputated. And while he very much appreciates the wheelchairs that the town has and that Island Women has provided all over the island, he's an extremely independent gentleman. And this is something, since you are on the board, Mo, I would appreciate it if you could take back to whoever is responsible for the wheelchairs in Island Women. It's extremely difficult for him to get out on the beach in any of those wheelchairs with his rod and reel and with his cooler for the day and with any chair that he might want to sit in while he is out there, because there is no way to carry anything on those wheelchairs. And so my request of Island Women is to take a look at them and see if there's any way to design that, and maybe have, if there is, maybe a model or mock-up of one of them. But meanwhile, he wanted to know if, because he is disabled, if he could drive an ATV on the beach where he could carry all of these things. And I don't know if any of our other council members might know this. Otherwise, we will wait for Chief Cooper's response.
So Andy might know, I don't know where he went, but I think the only authorized motorized vehicles on the strand are emergency vehicles. So I'm not sure where it's written.
Yeah, is that state or county?
I don't know.
Unless you have a commercial fishing license, you can drive a vehicle or an ATV on the beach. If you have a commercial fishing license, you're actively engaged in commercial fishing.
I don't think in Curie Beach you can anymore.
That's any beach.
When they did beach renourishment, we'd have to look that up. I don't know that I agree with you. I'm pretty sure our police department would not agree with you in the short term.
It's the general statute governing dune buggies on the beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, John, would you take that?
He's correct as far as that's concerned. And okay. I believe there is legislation that applies to ADA and disabled persons also, but I'm not entirely clear on that, and that's why I sent you to Chief Cooper. So. Yeah.
We can normally be more restrictive, can't we?
Well, ADA, plus ADA, the American Disabilities Act, is something else where you cannot restrict
I was implying to the fact that he said anyone with a commercial fishing license could go on the beach. That sounds like
that's another
pandemonium, right?
And
so
this gentleman may not
ADA
be a
is
commercial
a different
fishing.
Story that deserves yeah. due consideration.
Okay.
I think one of the proposals, as you had seen, he was looking to possibly get some type of restrictive license for those individuals that are disabled in the interpretation of the law.
Okay.
So I think we'll wait for our police chief.
And if you would continue to work with the gentleman, I don't know if you've talked with him yet, but definitely let him know that we're investigating this. And when you go to the county committee, it might be good to bring it up before them also and have them weigh in on it and find out if they've had this concern from any of their people with disabilities. Okay, thank you. Okay, TDA, MPO, ports and waterway, would you like to make any comments, Craig?
Well, yeah, ports and waterway, actually we've got some challenges ahead, obviously, for ports and waterway. We've got, we're having beach nourishment right now, most of it all paid for through federal, state, local funding. How that funding is going to materialize in the future is a different question. But the county did hire an individual to look at a strategy to work with the state legislature to determine how we can, in fact, get a sustainable fund. My only issue with that is we just found that out and he's been working on it 9 months. So we have a little bit of challenge ahead. We have folks to meet with to make sure that we have a sustainable fund. And it's critically important because the interlocal agreement, which we had signed previously and extended for 6 months, I believe has also come to expire without a solution from the county commissioners. I know they've taken it under advisement. I know they're looking at it. We need to encourage them to come to some resolution so that this can be resolved. Because frankly, at $6 to $8 million every 3 years, it would be quite difficult for us to sustain that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions of Craig?
No, ma'am.
Okay, discussion and consideration of department business, administration and recreation. Our finance department, is Arlen around?
He has a proposed budget. There he is. Perfect time.
Wow. Very timing. Good. Kind of good.
Step in just in time. What I included in your agenda packet is the proposed calendar for the upcoming fiscal year 2017 budget cycle. And really wanted to get everyone's input on that. I followed basically the same schedule that we've done the last 2 years, which has, in my opinion, been very successful. With that approach. But I guess most importantly, you'll see two budget workshop dates in April. Right. And really need to get your, confirmation, that those are dates that you'll be able to accommodate, or if not, to give me alternative dates. Okay. But they definitely need to fall in that time frame, within a day or two of those dates. Or
can the April 26th move either forward or back a week, because that week I'm in travel, I think.
I would probably move it back. Just
into May, the first week of May?
No, I got the other.
Forward. Bring it forward?
Okay, forward. Yeah.
Okay, sooner rather than later. Okay.
Right, especially in case we were to need a third meeting. That happened once or twice a few years ago, or a couple times, and the last 2 or 3 years we've only needed 2 meetings, but I'd hate to push that second meeting into May.
So that would make it April, what?
Well, that's what we're looking at. Could April 22nd gives him the most, it's that Friday before. I'm fine with it being in the middle of the week, but it gives the department has more time. Or April 20th is that Wednesday, if you want to stay on them, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, really, it doesn't have to be a Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's typically what we've done, but flexibility to do whatever works for everybody.
It's up to council. I just asked that it don't be that week. So can it be the week before, and I'm open to whichever day works for council?
I can't do between the, I have to ask my boss, what dates?
13th of March.
Oh, yeah. This is there. Yeah.
13th of March through 20th.
13th to the 20th. So
you're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Nice. Good job.
Okay. And a select a date.
Joe, do you have a preferred day of the week?
I would prefer the week before the 26th because that is the week of World Fest. So.
Yeah, so the 18th.
The 18th is good.
Do you care the 18th or the 22nd? Do you want it as late as possible?
Well, yeah, if you were to go between the 18th and 22nd, I'd probably prefer the 22nd because
that's Friday.
It's a little time to process.
Make a motion we move Tuesday, April 26th to Friday, April 22nd at 9 a.m. I guess we'll
do it all in the whole agreement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Thursday looks good. May so far out. Who knows? So.
Yeah, May is the regular,
that's regular meeting, hearing. Right? Yeah.
And then the public hearing is just scheduled so it has the appropriate time.
Yeah.
Okay, while we're on here with Arlen, could we go on and talk about the schedule for the retreat? Since it's really the budget retreat, right?
No, it's not.
Could we make...
Yeah.
A motion to do the budget calendar first.
Yeah.
Okay, so the retreat is not part of our budget at all.
Well, it sort of is. Yeah, we define priorities, so it sort of is, but we should probably pick who's number five before we pick that date so that whoever it is actually can go. That's just my recommendation.
I have to do whatever we tell them to do. Okay.
I make a motion to amend the presented budget calendar to April 22nd, Friday, for the review and the draft budget, and then pass it as presented, amended.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Building department, John.
As of this morning, we had sand being pumped on Curry Beach.
Yes.
Beach Nourishment is, they started a little bit late. They were supposed to have been pumping by December 28th. I did not see any sand flowing until Monday morning, the January 11th, I believe. So they've moved four blocks in a week. I haven't heard of any schedule changes. So we should be done with Curie Beach sometime around the end of February, as I understand it. And moving to Carolina Beach immediately afterwards. And finishing the project by April 30th. Did get an email this morning. General Turner, who is the division commander for Army Corps, will be visiting Carolina and Curie Beach tomorrow morning. They'll be around in Curie Beach between 9:30 and 9:45 if anybody wants to.
At the site?
Try to join them. Okay. Just let me know. I can make a phone call and try to make it happen. So.
Okay, I would like to join them. Anyone else?
I'm tired to look at tomorrow morning.
Apparently, it's going to be a very fast overview of what's
That's
going
fine.
On, and they're jumping right on the ferry.
Anyone else?
Enjoy.
I'd like to join them.
Enjoy.
Okay.
Thank you. Fire department, police department. Public Works, David.
I gotta find it now. So, okay. As soon as I find it, I apologize. That's when you have too many papers. Wow. You gave it to me and I lost it, Madam Mayor. Trying to keep track. So, the town had a, there it is. So you put it where it's going to not go, right? This is an update from the Public Works Department to Council. The Council got this memo about our drinking water total trihalomethanes. In December, everyone should have got a letter. You did, if you may not have read it, from the Public Works Department notifying them of violation of our water standards as a result of total trihalomethane sampling. The allowable limit for this particular chemical was 0.08 milligrams per liter, and our yearly average for 2014-2015 exceeded this due to a higher reading at one of our sample sites, 0.141, so about one and a half times the allowable limit. We resampled that site on November 24th, and the results were well within the acceptable range, less than 0.001. Public Works will continue to monitor this and let Council know if we encounter additional problems. So, Public Works wanted to make sure Council got this and we read it out in a meeting. One, because we take water quality very seriously. Sonny and his team make sure they do all the required sampling in addition to extra sampling. We do all the reporting to the state as required. And with all the stuff that's happening in Flint, Michigan, we wanted to make sure both council and the citizens recognize how seriously we take water quality safety issues. So in addition to the reporting required by the state, Sonny and his team do a really good job, and we are constantly paying attention to water quality issues in Curie Beach. So any questions from council or the citizens?
No. Crisis passed? Let's just say the overage.
Yeah.
The measurement is passed.
We'll continue to monitor. I mean, so water quality is one of those issues. We pump directly from an aquifer, and then we treat the water, but we don't add total trihalomethanes to our water, so it's coming from the ground, if it is. Yeah. As the wells, you know, the aquifer goes up and down with groundwater. It's a very deep aquifer. It's a good aquifer, we think, but you're pumping it out of the ground, so you got to take what you get, right? We're definitely not adding anything to it. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, discussion and consideration of old business. Now's the time when we will be interviewing our candidates for the extra position on the town council. What we would like to do is call these candidates in alphabetical order. In fact, if Jim Dugan is in the hallway, he needs to join us.
There he is.
Okay. We will be calling the four candidates, and let me explain to all of you. We had eight citizens apply for this position, which is, I mean, absolutely wonderful that we have that much participation in our town. So it was very, very good to hear. We went through each one of the applications in detail, and each one of us ranked them, and we came up with four candidates that we would like to interview tonight. And after the what we will first do is have the candidates give a 3 to 5 minute, preferably three, but if you need 5 minute presentation to let the other people here in the audience know who you are and something about you, why you would like to be on the council, and even if you would like to refer to any of the questions you answered as far as your qualifications, please do so. Then one by one, we would like for each of you to join us at the table up here in the front, and the council at that time will be asking questions all of you together. Okay, if anyone needs to leave, now is the time to do it. Otherwise, Jim Dugan, if you could come to the podium, you are our first one in alphabetical order here. Okay, and I don't have a watch. Can somebody help sure. us time this?
Sure, I got this guy covered.
Okay.
Stop
being free.
That's
right.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Thank you. My name is Jim Dugan. I live at 829 Cutter Court. Been down here since 1995. And my wife and I. And we'd like to think that we came here on purpose. We weren't lucky enough to be born here. But when this position opened up, we got the questionnaire and everything, and I looked at it, and it seemed like, of all the questions, the one that struck me the most was, why would I want to be on council if I didn't want to run the council before? And the way I feel, first of all, a little bit of background. I've got 12 years on council already, and I've been off for a couple of years. And the reason for that is I chose not to run because I'm a strong believer in term limits. And so I self-imposed term limits on myself. And when this position came open, it's a position for 2 years, and I also strongly believe that if you're going to fulfill an elected office, that people that are in your community should be the ones that put you in that office. So I offered myself basically as a filler for 2 years until whoever decides that they want to run for the next election has the choice and the ability to do that. As far as background, when I was on council, I was the representative who dealt with public works. Also had a couple of years under police and fire. When I was under police and fire, I was also the emergency manager when David was called to active duty, and had the great pleasure of being the council representative for the park. And then after my term was up, I was asked by council to continue to be the representative for the park. Because apparently they couldn't find anybody on council who wanted to do that. But that's about it.
Okay.
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 Would you come have a seat at the table, please? John Ellen.
My name is John Ellen. I live at 181 Seawatch Way. I'm just up the road here. I want to start a little further back in my discussion here. This state became the state in 1775, May of 1775. In 1893, they adopted the Latin phrase and put it in the Great Seal of North Carolina, esse quam videri, which is to be rather than to seem. Well, you fast forward a few years, you get to 1945, and I was born in Winston-Salem, raised there up through college, went to North Carolina State, graduated as an engineer. Raised by very good parents, taught me value system, honor code. So if you go to 45, in 1946, a gentleman, William C. Bennett, initiated the International Brotherhood of the JCs. The code, or their statement, the final line of that is, service to humanity is the best work of life. In 1947, when I was two, the United States Air Force was born. Turns out, I served in both of those organizations for a long time. So I've been in this business of service for quite a while. Following graduation, became a lieutenant in the Air Force, stayed there for 26 years. My wife Robbie, back here in the back, we moved all over the country, and finally retired from active duty up in the D.C. area and continued as a consultant to the Air Force, culminating in almost 50 years of service to the country. We moved, well, we purchased a house here in Curry Beach in 2005. Became North Carolina residents a couple of years later. Moved here full time in 03 after I stopped being a consultant up in Northern Virginia. Back to wanting to serve and what I've been doing in the community during that time. I'm currently with Craig, a commissioner on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I am the town's representative to WAMPO, the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization. And we just wrapped up the 2040 plan for how to use the government transportation funding for the Tri-County area. There's a program in Wilmington called WARM, Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministry. on Mondays, they have kind of a sub-tier called Mission Mondays. So most Mondays, I'm working and rebuilding homes for the unfortunate, the needy, the less fortunate people in the Tri-County area here. Robbie and I are one of the team leads for a program right here on the beach called Martha's Kitchen. And 8 times a month, that program, every Tuesday and every Thursday, feed the homeless in Baptist Church. And Robbie and I are in charge of 2 of those Thursdays. We also have an ad hoc committee that meets here in this building on Thursdays, dealing with Curie Beach traffic. I'm a member of that also.
30 seconds, John.
I'm sorry.
30 seconds to 5 minutes.
I'm way too old. I need blood work time. I'm a volunteer at Watch Dogs. I don't know if you know their program. Dogs is dads of great students. Well, you know, at this age, I don't have any students anymore, but I was a dad of 4 great students. And that is a program at Murray Middle School where they ask for male volunteers to come in and be associated with that. Robbie and I have a volunteer at the Azalea Festival. And one other thing, a local congressman, Representative Rouser, recently asked me to join his Council on Veteran Affairs, and I readily accept it. So I'd like to continue the service through the position there on the council.
Thank you, John.
You got to sit up here, John.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, Mike.
Hey, Craig. That's right.
Hey, thank you. My name is Craig Galbraith. I live at 803 Boca Court. I have to say, when I was given the questions, I thought they were excellent questions. I thought they give a lot of insight as to what we consider to be some of the major issues here, what we might bring to the table in terms of some of our capabilities. And so I actually enjoyed and gave a lot of thought, I think, to the questions. You know, obviously, we only have about 3 to 5 minutes right now, but I think what I like to concentrate on is try to tie possibly what I can bring to the council with some of the major issues. You know, some of the major issues, certainly we've got the beach renourishment issue. You know, related to that is going to be the financial structure and, you know, the issue of revenues in the future. I think it's very important that we develop a strategic plan to try to understand how to implement the things that we want to do and what we want to have this community look like over the next 5 years. In terms of what I can bring possibly to that effort, I think there are several things. First of all, I've been chair on the Planning Commission now for 8 years here in Curie Beach. I've been the chair now for about 5 years. I serve a lot of different subcommittees, not only for Curie Beach, but also various committees for the county as well as the state. My area of specialty, I'm an economist. I'm a professor of the Cambridge School of Business. So I'm an economist, and my specialty is on small business and regional economic development. So I serve a lot of commissions and committees. It's an area that I know very well. I've written several books on it, many, many articles. And so when we look at economic growth, which clearly is one of the major issues in terms of revenue generation and trying to understand this five-year plan, I think these are some areas that, you know, I can certainly bring to bear. I'm also the executive director of the UNCW Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, the Entrepreneurship Center, and the Technology Transfer Office at the university. And this gives me a lot of opportunity to work with small business. I've run many small businesses, ranging from biotechnology firms to ocean-going shipping firms as a founder, consulting firms, real estate development, and so forth. And I think it's very, very important that people do have that sense, because I really do have a sense of what small business goes through in a variety of different types of small businesses. And again, because of my planning background, the ability to understand what the requirements are to run a small business and the difficulties of running a small business, but also trying to balance that against the well-being of the overall community. I also have a graduate degree in biology, and as we heard today, there are some very important things about biology. When you live in a coastal community that's a fragile community, and a lot of times some of the discussions have to do with these environmental type of issues. So I might be able to bring something to that particular discussion too. But again, finally, I do a lot of work in the area of finance. You know, I teach a graduate course in public sector financing, so certainly an area that I feel very, very comfortable in. We
He'll be glad to serve on any subcommittees related to finance and working with some of the financial issues here. But I think probably one of the most important things to bring an ethical and professional attitude. I'm a firm believer, and for the folks I think that have known me on the Planning and Zoning Commission, I try to be as fair as possible to present all the different sides. And I'm a firm believer that the decentralization of decision making in a democratic situation where you have the decision making at the local level is one of the most important things that has driven the United States and the development of the United States. I'm a firm believer in that, and I would certainly bring that level of ethics and responsibility to the council. Thank you.
Okay. Join us at the table, please. Okay. And our last candidate, Alan.
Good evening. My name is Alan Oliver. I live at 716 Gulfstream. My wife and I are very fortunate to move here in August of 2014. I spent 35 years in local government. I was a Parks and Recreation Director, ended up being an Assistant City Manager in High Point. I have some of the areas that I looked after or had to supervise with public services, customer service, information technology, a lot of different areas. Parks and Recreation is where I was a Parks and Recreation Director for the majority of my career. My time here at Crewe Beach, I got involved very early when I moved here, served on the Parks and Rec Advisory Board, and then somehow Nikki and Nancy talked me into going to work, and I ran the summer concert series, and I was the staff person of the part-time basis for that, and all the events at Ocean Front Park. So I've done those type of things here. Now, most recently, I've taken the job as an interim town manager for a little small community in Central North Carolina, which I'm presently doing right now a couple days a week while they're having an active job search going on for a town manager. I think I bring a lot to the table. I have extensive knowledge in grant writing. I have knowledge in lobbying and working with our elected officials. I've made several trips for either local governments or other organizations to Washington, D.C. and to Raleigh. My most recent volunteer role has been as chairman of the board for North Carolina Special Olympics. I just ended my term in December with that, but I've been a 30-plus year volunteer for Special Olympics. I feel like I have a lot of, I guess the best way to put it, we're talking about planning for the future. I've worked through the process of planning for the future of parks and recreation organizations and for arts organizations and other things. The process is the same, it's just a different type organization. And I have experience in the process of going out and gathering the information and doing the public meetings and formulating the plan. So I'd be honored to serve. I'll continue to work for the town and do whatever I can in my capacity here if I'm not selected. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have another chair up there? Too?
Oh, there.
Okay. Okay. Now, Council, you have heard our four candidates. Do you have any questions of any particular candidate?
I do, if I may. First of all, I want to congratulate each one of you for being incredibly successful individuals in your professional careers as well as in a lot of volunteerism. I think I was incredibly impressed when I read all eight of the resumes. Every one of you, in my mind, has a capability to do what we would ask you to do. I'm going to ask a few questions based on what you put into your responses. So hopefully they're not new questions, maybe just a little clarification for me. I think my first question will go to, you give me a lot of information here. Mr. Goldberg.
Yes.
Craig, I've had the opportunity to work with you, and I definitely know your capabilities. My question to you, one, is thank you for your service. But my question to you is that as I went through your resume, it's really incredible. And by that I mean you own property, I believe, which you rent. You own property in town. You're a successful man, a successful professor. I counted no less than 5 committees where you are the executive director or the leader of that. I also know that you've been published, and you find time to do a great job on planning and zoning. My question to you is, do you feel you would have the time to give the time required to being a councilman for this town, for the people out there, to donate the time required when it's required?
Yeah, in fact, I can answer that two ways. One is, one of the advantages of being a faculty member is that I do have flexibility. So other than required time of actually showing up and I'm supposed to teach my classes, I do work a lot of hours, but it's flexible. And so I can certainly design my hours and set my own agenda. In addition, several of the things that I'm currently the executive director or directors of, I'm actually the interim director. And I'm chairing the search committee to fill 2 of those positions as we speak. And so hopefully 2 of those hats will go to somebody else in the very, very near future.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Oliver.
Well, we'd like to go down the thing here and give everybody a chance to ask
that
questions.
That's fine. I mean, if anybody else has a question while I'm looking for my question.
Joseph?
Why did you want to get back into it? Why did you want to get back into being on council? I've taken a little break. What do you see the issues are that kind of motivated you to come back?
What really has motivated me to come back is the fact that I'm a strong believer in people that are running for positions should be elected by the public. And this was a position that is not elected by the public. It's by you guys looking to fill that position on a temporary basis. And having done the job and know what's involved with the job, I feel comfortable offering myself, if you so choose, to fill that for the 2-year term.
Thank you.
David?
One, I appreciate all 4 of you and for the people that are in the audience, all 8 of the people that applied. The 10 questions that we asked, I think, flesh it out pretty well for me. It's really nice to see NC State so well represented in the group.
Yes.
I think there's 3 of us already up here, so that might be too much Wolfpack. But I'd like to take a second to make sure that the community understands how seriously the council takes this. All of the commissioners went through, and I would put all these papers back together and hand them up, all of the information from all 8 of the applicants. And then we fed our thoughts on that to Nancy to whittle it down to 4. Once we finish talking with you and asking questions, we're going to go into closed session and go through those 4 to reach a decision. I think the town's very well served to have 8 people willing to serve. I wish they would have ran, but I do understand that at the time there was only 2 seats. Maybe I'm glad that you guys didn't run against me, but so one, however we turn out, we're very well served to have so many people interested. And understand that the process as the council's set it up is set up so that at the end, I hope, we have a unanimous decision. So we don't have to explain to someone why, hey, sorry, I didn't vote for you, but I want to work with you for the next 2 years. So I think that's smart of the council, so I appreciate the council in the process. And I appreciate all the time that everyone put in filling this out. All 8 of the, questionnaires were well served, and I feel gave me a good sense of, okay, where I want to go, and I'm interested in the discussions back in the closed session. Oh, that's not me? Good. It's one of you guys. So back to you, Madam Mayor. I don't have a question.
Okay. Mr. Dugan, you have indicated to us 2 or 3 times tonight that you feel being a placeholder, basically, for the next 2 years is important because the town needs to be deciding who our council members are. I think I've emphasized many, many times, at least over the next year, if not 2 years, we will be working very strongly on a comprehensive plan for the town, which I don't know that the town has ever done, but not since I've lived here. And this is not just land use. This would involve everything, mainly what do we want to be and how do we want to get here. Okay, as a placeholder, how do you see yourself in relation to that process? Do you see yourself as a major leader, which every one of these other gentlemen here will need to be? And what area do you think you could really bring some expertise?
Well, obviously, I wouldn't have submitted my name if I didn't think I could do the job. And the job, if I'm the one that's chosen, the job that I'll do is as good as I can do. And my feelings are that I realized throughout the 12 years with many people that have been on this council, I've been able to work with practically everybody that's been there. Because the one good thing about Kerry Beach that I really enjoy is the fact that there's really, I was on council for almost 2 years before I even knew who was a Republican and who was a Democrat. Because nobody cared. It was, what were you going to do that was good for the town? And so that's the way that I want to continue to do.
Okay, thank you.
Question for Mr. Oliver.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your service. And I looked your resume, you have an extensive background in public works. By that I mean working with the public. I have a question relative being the BISCO interim town manager. If I could ask, how'd you get involved with that? And number two, is that something, if it was offered to you, you'd be interested in full time, which would actually put us in a position where we're looking for somebody in a short period of time again?
During my time in Highpoint and in Ashburn previously, I worked with the local council on government on job reclassification studies for our employees, land use planning, that type of thing, those services that the COG gave our municipalities. I made a friendship with one of the gentlemen in the COG, and in my last days when I was getting ready to retire in High Point, he asked me, he said, if I ever get a phone call saying, do we need somebody for an interim, we know somebody for an interim manager for 2 or 3 months, or 4 months, or you know, a limited period of time, would you be willing to do that? He said, I get phone calls occasionally. He said, sometimes I get a rash of them, and I need people. And I said, sure, absolutely. So that opportunity came about several months ago. I got the phone call. Just so happens this is a county that my parents live in. My parents have a home right behind me here in Kerry Beach. This is the reason I'm here. But it's the county that I grew up in. And they needed somebody, and I promised them through the end of March. And I work 2 days a week, and I drive up there, and I spend the night with my mom and dad, and I work 2 days, and I come home. I had no intentions to get back into it full time. I'm drawing a great retirement from the state retirement system, and I can work limited hours and a limited amount of money. And I would do that again if the situation was right, whether it be an interim role as a parks and recreation director or whatever other role they may need, or doing some independent study type stuff for local council and government. But there's no chance I'm going to be a permanent manager in BISCO, North Carolina.
Okay. Thank you.
Joseph?
No more.
Okay. I have a question for Mr. Allen, and it's pretty much the same question that I asked Mr. Dugan. I know you were sitting back here at one of our council members, and I believe before the meeting started, I came to ask you if we embarked on a big comprehensive plan. I don't think I said comprehensive at the time, but a big plan for the town. If you would be interested in participating in that process or taking a leadership role. And again, you know, I see all these wonderful, wonderful activities that you are involved in and that you do. And it, as a matter of fact, congratulations on your appointment from Congressman Rouser for the committee he has on VA affairs. You indicated at the time that your time was really pretty consumed with all that, plus I know you enjoy traveling like I do. And I'm wondering, how does that fit into your schedule now? Because like I indicated to Mr. Dugan, we will be, or I certainly will be, looking at, to all of our commissioners for having a leadership role in the comprehensive plan. And do you see a way to fit that into your busy schedule?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first and foremost priority would be filling that chair there. As I look at, you know, my life and everything that Robbie and I do together, or some of the singular, I don't know if it made the package. It was not requested from the panel, just the questionnaire, the resume. But I drafted a goals and mission vision statement for the town, actually after you mentioned it back maybe a year ago almost.
That started 5 years ago, but yeah, right, then again, we talked about it about a year ago too, and you sent that to
us. I'm excited about that. That's going to kick off again, and very much willing to take the lead on developing that plan for us.
Okay. Great.
Kind of hit the question I was going to talk to John about, which is, he's been relatively involved in a variety of things, and ask him what his view would be and vision on leadership into the areas of these planning things that we had talked about in the past. But I think you pretty much covered it there. Each of you have pretty good relationships at the state, the state, county, local levels, and some even at a national level have some degree of contact. So I don't. I have one last. Well, you've asked Jim enough questions, so I guess I'm done.
Anyone else? Okay, I think I am too. I truly appreciate not just the four of you, but our other four candidates also, who were actually willing to participate in this. I think your backgrounds are absolutely amazing, and I certainly look forward to working with all of you, whether you're selected for council or not. I can see little things in each one of you that we're going to fit into our comprehensive plan. So I look forward to meeting with you. And with that, we will close the interviews right now. And if you would like to go back to your seat, you're welcome to. Okay.
Make a motion we move the scheduled date of the council retreat to after the closed session so we can have the fifth person weigh in on dates.
Second. I didn't let you do that.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
She might say I can't do it.
Don't you need stormwater? Wasn't that next on your...
It's not on this one that I'm reading on the electronic one.
It was the one you
wanted
to add.
Yeah, okay. But after we move two, I can do three next if she lets me move it.
Okay, I need word from Andy and from Nancy. Earlier we did not change the agenda because we had already voted on it. Can we change the agenda now and go into our closed session now? And then finish the rest of the agenda after we.
So agrees, yes, ma'am.
If we agree. Okay, and you made a motion.
I just was moving this to the end. I was just moving this
to
the end so we could finish all the work.
Too.
I was going to finish the work first.
So
if anyone wants to leave.
You want to move that up there, right?
That's okay. What I was going to do. Make a motion to move number two under new, I guess it's new business.
Move the closed session up before number two.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Make a motion we go into closed session to discuss the interviews with candidates.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Sorry. I was trying to do it the other way, but that's fine. Because the lease guy's not here, right?
They're not coming.
Yeah.
Recording.
It is. Is it still recording, Nancy?
Yeah. Oh, cool. I was going to say, I hope no one said anything bad on our email.
Do we have to vote to come back into session?
Yeah, make a motion we come back to session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, we are back in session here. I really appreciate, again, I'd like to reiterate that I really appreciate all of you participating in this process and going through everything with us. And please know that I know where to find every one of you, so we'll be looking for you to continue to do some of the work you've been doing and maybe even additional work to help out the town. Okay, we have discussed all of this, and I'd like to know, what is your pleasure?
Yes, ma'am. So I'd like to make a motion to appoint Jim Dugan to the 2-year term to town council.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, Mr. Dugan.
And so, Nancy is authorized to swear you in, so please come up and swear in so you can get started. And for our other commissioners, other candidates, I look forward to seeing you all signed up in 2 years. I'll call and remind you during the election season. So I look forward to seeing you up here.
I wish we had 4 openings.
Well, you want to
know?
No, I'm not resigning.
Yeah,
right.
Nice.
Nice. Let me correct that.
Quiet, please.
Hi, and state your name.
James Dugan.
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of my office as commissioner for the town of Kira Beach.
Of my office as commissioner for the town of Kira Beach.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you.
Make a motion that we have Mr. Dugan join us.
No, oh, we don't have to make a motion.
Yes, you do.
Get up here.
Don't you have to?
He's already on the council.
Oh, okay.
We just have to make him sit down.
I know when we excuse people, we have to let him come back up.
Oh, but he hasn't been excused.
Oh, there he is. Sorry. He's trying.
Okay.
Calendars.
We're talking about scheduling a date for the council retreat to be held in February. And you have some suggested dates in front of you. Do I have any that need to be deleted?
Hold on, I'm trying to get my calendar open. February.
Yeah, I don't even have mine in front of me.
Pretty good. First, second, 15th, or 16th.
My preference would be middle of the month.
Yeah, so
my first grandchild is due at the end of this month, and I'm sure it might sneak in the next month. So I'm relatively sure if we do it the 1st of February, I'll be missing that meeting.
How does the 15th work for everyone?
I'll be out of town.
Okay.
I can do the 16th. Are we coming back on the 15th?
It's going to make a long day if we do retreat and then council meeting. So you won't be back on the 15th, Joe?
I think I come back about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Nancy, do we need to have it before the council meeting? Is there anything that comes out of it that we need to act on in the February meeting? I don't remember from last year. It really more plugging into the budget process.
Right, it would be more, you know, typically like council sets some goals that then would be reflected during the budget process.
The 22nd is not too late for that, right? Of February?
No, I mean, we can definitely make that work. So.
Does that next week work for you guys?
Can you prepare for Monday or Tuesday? I can do that.
22nd.
22nd? Work. Make a motion, we make it on the 22nd.
Second.
Do we need a time, miss? We're going to start early, right?
I would prefer time.
8 a.m. for everyone? I know some of you other guys like later, but...
Is that going to be here?
Community center?
Whichever one, no. Whatever. Make a motion we have at the community center starting at 8 a.m. on February 22nd.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. You have the number three. Didn't you ask?
Yeah, number three. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. I can't write on my PDF. So just an update to council on stormwater. So we continue to work with the Beach Walk community on their pond. Our engineer provided drawings to their engineer for rerouting the drive drain to fit into their plan. So now it's going back to the state. Their hope is to get a state permit. They've got contractors starting to bid on it, so they understand how expensive it's going to be to do their project. But that should be going to the state here in the next week or so, hopefully. And then we'll see if they get a permit, and then they'll be moving forward. So I continue to work with them. That's the update there. And then another community has emailed the mayor and myself about issues with stormwater. I'd just like the council's permission to start working with them in a similar manner as we did with Beach Walk and move forward. Longer term, I hope for Sunny to, as we go through the budget process, to put in some money for stormwater planning, because there's at least two communities now that have concerns. He's already came to council and got permission for using public money to fix or work with private homeowners on specific issues. So that issue's only going to become more of a problem for us, and I'd just like permission from council to begin working with that, and I'll update the council as we go. So that's really the only update now. Thank you for reminding me.
Come to a consensus on that, or?
Yeah, it's just a consensus from you guys. I don't want to do something without you guys knowing what's going on.
That's fine.
Works for me.
Okay. Okay, new business. Nancy, do you want to say anything about the communications?
In your agenda packets, there's a memo from me. We received a request from communications specialist. We space on the south water tower, located on the assembly. Place equipment to provide internet service in that area of town. They currently lease space on our north tower on Settlers. There's four antennas and another piece of equipment on top of the tower, and they plug into our electric service. There's no equipment placed on the ground, which was a concern of the public works director and myself, since the assembly tower is on lots of leased land. There's nothing on the ground. What they're asking or offering in compensation is free Wi-Fi service at our community center building. Right now we pay $231 a month through charter for that. And pay-as-you-go Wi-Fi at the Oceanfront Park. After talking with the rep today, that would also include Joe Eek's Park in that. I had talked with him some about some sort of free Wi-Fi at the Oceanfront Park for visitors and tourists. I understand that other towns are offering that type of thing, but they feel because of security reasons they wouldn't be able to open the whole area to free Wi-Fi. They would give us some sort of pass that we could have, maybe 600 passes a year that we could put out in different agencies or offer to people who have a town hall. The current lease on the water tower on Settlers, that started 5 years ago at $300 a month plus a $40 charge for electric. It's now up to $347.77 a month. I think it's a 3% increase annually, Arlen, plus the $40. So that's nowhere near the what they're offering as compensation on this tower. And discussing with them again today, also, then they said if they had offered revenue, it wouldn't be more than the $230 a month plus the electric charge, because they don't have as many customers on the south end of the island as they do on the north end. So my recommendation was going to be, and I did speak with the public works director about it, he has no problem, as long as it mirrors exactly what's on the north tower, would be possibly the Wi-Fi at the community center and the pay-as-you-go, but I would would think there should be some other compensation too, where it's the monthly electric charge.
So in your memo, you said if this lease is approved, the town will potentially lose money. That's just in comparison to the current lease. They're not taking their equipment off, right?
No.
So they're going to keep this lease, and then this is just a different lease.
Right.
But it's not as lucrative for the town.
Right.
And their point when they talked with you was there's less opportunity down there because it's at the south end of town, and going south is just the...
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood.
What is their business?
Internet service.
So they offer internet services. So they would sell their services with the base being the towers. So what do we spend here, town hall, for internet service?
Probably about $325. That's just for here, but then you also have, you know, the police department, public works, they all have their own.
Yeah, they all have their own.
Account, so.
I'm just wondering if there isn't a better deal for the town associated with that, or if we're bundled or something like that, because I do think this is, I think it's a deal, and they're really actually setting themselves up to grow their business, because their service will be stronger in the south part of the town. And I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be greedy, but I would like to see the citizens get maybe something reasonable, and maybe that's some degree of service that we pay for and wouldn't necessarily need to pay for.
Well, I think their issue is it's a density thing, right? If you look down there, mm-hmm. there's not six rows of houses in front of it like right here.
Yep.
And then south of there, if you go down very far, there's no houses because it's just the,
right, it comes to the
Fort
end.
Fisher, right?
So I think if you would look at houses compared to the number of, let's call it households, when you start to look at Ocean Dunes.
Yep.
And you start to look, you know, Ocean Dunes on both sides of the streets, you've got a lot of domiciles. They're smaller domiciles, but there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's an idea. If council doesn't think that's...
No.
Who do we get internet service from here at Town Hall? Charter. And who does the police department get it from?
Charter.
And, okay, so the whole town, but we're separate. We're separate but equal somehow with their internet service. And what are we paying at the community center?
$231 a month.
A month.
Yes.
And that takes that away, so it gets through free, right?
And there's, what, somebody in there 30% of the time? Who's actually
using internet 5% of the time?
Yeah, who's actually using that?
When we have meetings over there, some of the classes are using it.
Yeah, not very many people, you're right.
Okay. And that's because I understand from Arlen they consider us a business.
Yes.
Do they understand that government is a public nonprofit? We are not a business,
but we are considered
by law to be a public nonprofit.
Right, but it's still not, you're not going to
receive. They don't have that classification in their billing.
Right.
Well, maybe they should. It just seems like we're paying an awful lot for very little, and
so they're saying they're going to give us free Wi-Fi at the community center, which is worth, if we stopped with Charter, we'd save $231 a month. So that's almost the $347, right? The pay-as-you-go Wi-Fi. And so
that's value to them, I would think. I don't know how that would value.
It's value to us too, right? We stop paying $231 a month.
Yeah.
We don't pay anything for the oceanfront park.
Right now.
It's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have
saying
anything.
You'd have access down there, but when you have access, you have to buy your hour.
Well, she said they might give us free things. So I guess the question is, we should get someone to negotiate the lease and stop fiddling around, because we don't know what they'll do, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we typically negotiate these leases, right? So the first one on the water tower was done by, the very first one was done by the fire chief. Not saying he should have done it, but because he put in cell towers, so that's how we got the first one. Now we should pick someone. Arlen, who's our negotiation expert? You, right?
I guess between that Nancy and I, I guess.
Or one of the two of you, whatever. Nancy, if you're young, flip a coin or whatever. So I think we direct them to negotiate the lease. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because we don't know what they'll do. I think we empower them to get the best deal they can and then tell us what it was.
Dennis Cooper is very knowledgeable about that. Plus, he's the police chief, so
yeah,
that might help also.
I don't know that that matters, right? It's some commercial person you're negotiating with. So
yeah.
I make a motion that we empower the town clerk to get whoever she wants to negotiate and negotiate the best lease. No?
I would prefer you choose.
Pick who it is.
Yes.
So tell us who you think is better between the two of you. You know each of you. He used to report to you.
Arlen's tougher than I am.
Well, there you go. I make a motion we empower the finance officer to negotiate the best lease possible for the town on the South Water Tower.
I second.
All those in favor?
She's a better negotiator.
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Passes unanimously.
Good luck, Arlen. Get us as much as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do my best.
We have faith in you.
Okay. Okay. Community Center parking lot, Mr. Polinski.
The Community Center Committee has done a tremendous job of beautifying the Community Center. They have a piece of work to close, and they would like to take the parking lot and a strip of dirt in the parking lot, which comes down between the two parking areas and rounds out in the front. They would like to have permission to get free trees from the Botanical Center that's doing that, I guess, this weekend. And they would like to have permission to get free trees to bring them there and requesting Sunny's support in then helping them with the planting. They're already planning and looking at getting a 200-foot hose so they can water it because we're not gonna put in irrigation. So the plants would be free. They're willing to put in the effort, the transportation, and take care of the plants, but they certainly would like support in getting them in. I told them anything they would have to do based on council resolution would have to be native plants, because I think we have already,
we have already determined
that they must be native plants, and Sunny could even also give them guidance on that, I think.
Okay, could I comment?
Sure.
On that? Because I did call the chairman and talk with her, and they were going this week, I think later this week, as a group for most of them, to the mall over there, and she was talking more about picking up plants more so than trees, because she said they would like for them to be very low level, and that they had only talked about the front piece, but they would really like to talk about the whole area, like you're saying. They would like to have some help with the design, and there are a couple of women in the Island Women organization that might be able to help them with that. If Ms. Washington back there could help me remember to talk to some Island Women about helping them with some design on all of the areas that have to do with the community center. The main reason why I called her was because the Wilmington Regional Association of Realtors contacted me and said that they have a community day, which I believe is April the 5th, because I did not write it down here, but I believe it's April the 5th, where they go to break up to all the different communities and do manual labor to help do something. And they apparently did some of the planning of the sea oats last year, but with our beach renourishment, not sure that can be done this year.
And they had to do it on that day.
Right, right. And so I asked her if she would mind if a group of realtors came and did all the planting for them. And she said they would love that. If they could come up with a design to do that and figuring out maybe what additional plants we might have to purchase, maybe we could talk the realtors into
buying them.
Buying them. talked to the realtors at the Friday night shindig. I think they would enjoy doing that. Hear back definitely from the committee chairman by the end of the week, apparently by Friday or Saturday, to see, because they wanted to talk about it together while they're going to the mall. But wanted to see if, you know, as liaison, if that was okay with you to, instead of Sonny doing all the work, get the realtors in here to do it.
It certainly is, and I would look to you then to get back to the new chairman instead of me being in the middle of this
dance. I'll be glad to. I'll be glad to. And Cindy's going to help me with Island Women. Okay.
So just two inputs from...
Oh, and I talked to Sonny.
That's fine.
And
just two
Sonny
inputs.
Said he's always welcome to have anybody do his work for him.
Yeah, okay. But so one, please pick plants that are low so we don't have a safety issue.
Right.
And two, please pick plants that don't have long roots because we don't want them breaking up the concrete that's only like 5 years old over there.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Comments?
I was just going to throw in the root thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pay a lot for that. Okay, we'll work with the realtors on that. Commissioner's items. Okay.
I think they had a consensus up
there. Yeah, we have a consensus that they're working on.
Especially since Sonny had said he'd be glad to have them come in and help out. Okay. We've been talking about a comprehensive plan, and I think I mentioned to, well, not to you, but to most of you, that I had been talking with a woman with the UNC Chapel Hill School of Government who specializes in this, and in fact, she's one of our speakers when we go to Sunset Beach. And I have some information to provide you, if I can remember all of it. She was talking about a preliminary, well, she said normally their fee for a town this size, depending on how much they get involved, is usually $1,000 a day, and that includes preparation, doing whatever we want during the day, and then follow up and providing us with whatever we've done for the day that we would have available to us. But what we had been talking about was a preliminary discussion with her around the time that she'll be at Sunset Beach or the following week. And she, instead of just the two of us talking, she would like to have another council member and at least one or more members of the community that we view as potential leaders for this process. And we'll sit down and talk to her about what we are actually talking about here. What is this process we want to do? What would it involve? What can they do to at least get us started with all the resources we have in this town? After that, we should be able to do the majority of it ourselves and work out what the cost would be and everything. Mainly, I would like to have a volunteer from one of our council members, and we can decide together when we can meet with her and some recommendations about anyone in the community that could help with this process. Don't all of you speak at once.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Is that a
you'll
volunteer?
Help with
it? Yeah, you guys have a volunteer.
All right. Okay. Good for Commissioner Dugan.
Well, you know where I live.
Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. And meanwhile, over the next 24 hours or so, if you guys could, you know, give me any recommendations of anyone in the community that should be involved in this preliminary discussion. I will tell you, if we do it the day after our meeting, which I believe would be around February the 11th, the mayor over in Leland said that we could meet in their town hall, which would make it easy for her to get back to Raleigh and easy for us to get over there, but I'll discuss that with you and anyone else involved. I'm giving you that information so that if you have a recommendation, it might be good if you talk to that individual first and tell them a little bit about what they're getting into.
What's the date on that at Leland again?
That one was February the 11th. She suggested the day before that starts, but that's not definitely not convenient with me. And then she had a few dates the following week that I can give you.
You can't have
Are you planning on making any decisions at this meeting?
No.
Okay, because you can't get three council people together. You got
No, there'd only be two.
Two.
Yeah, just me and Commissioner Dugan.
Okay.
And that's all.
Thank you.
And then one or more people from the community who would like to get involved.
And if you ask anybody, you should know the date.
Yeah.
That's the reason I asked the date.
Okay. Okay. Okay, guys. Any other questions? Comments? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah.